Hey, this is Ron Jacobs for Endpoint TV, and back from TechEd North America, where, I had a lot of interesting discussions with people, and it's good to kind of get my head back around different areas. And so one of the things I come to now and then is REST. And so I was thinking about REST and WebHTTP services, and somebody was asking me, how do you do API key verification in REST? Now, in the .NET 3.5 release of the WCF REST Starter Kit, we showed this technique using a thing called a request interceptor. And that was really kind of a funky add-on thing that we created for the REST Starter Kit. It did not survive into .NET 4. So now some people are looking at .NET 4 and saying, well, I kind of like that request interceptor. How do I do the same thing in .NET 4? And the answer is you use a service authorization manager. So in this episode, I'm going to show you how that works. But first, let's back up for a minute and talk about an API key, what it is, and why you should use one. And just to set this up, I'll tell you a little story. A few years ago, I was doing a video podcast show called ArcCast TV. And it was really popular, and there was these guys who made an add-on for Windows Media Center, and their add-on was designed to download video podcasts from the web. Well, apparently, these guys watched ArcCast TV, so they added my show to kind of their default list of shows that you got. And we started noticing this huge spike in traffic. I mean, it was just an enormous number of downloads coming, and I was curious about it because it was really, really high. So I started looking at the logs for the server, and I saw this user agent string that was from their add-in. And I realized I had tons of downloads coming from this add-in. I didn't know what it was. So I went and found it, downloaded it, and figured it out. Well, when I looked on their support bulletin board, their forums there, it had all these messages from people who were saying things like, yeah, I installed this on my computer, and then over the weekend, my ISP shut off my account because it was just using so much bandwidth. Well, apparently they had a bug in their code where it would download video episodes until it filled your hard drive. And then when it filled the hard drive, instead of quitting, it would delete the episodes and download them again, just over and over and over again until your ISP would shut you off. And this presented a real problem for us because we wanted to shut off this app, but we didn't want to shut off everybody from downloading episodes. So it turned out that because they used the user agent string, we could figure out what app it was that we had to shut off, and we filtered out the request from that app. Now that's a little story to tell you about a lesson I learned about the public web. And that is, on the public web, there are good users and good apps, and there are bad users and bad apps. Okay, sometimes the apps are bad because they have a bug in them like this. Sometimes they're bad because they're just bad people being malicious and trying to attack you. And if you get in the case where you have a public web service and somebody's abusing you, you have to be able to shut them off. Now, in my case, we were able to shut them off because they were good guys and they played by the rules and they put out a user agent string. But if they hadn't done that, we would have been in real trouble. The only alternative we would have would be to shut off the ArcCast TV feed and just try to set up a new URL or something and tell people to switch over, which would have been a real disaster. So that's my long story to tell you. The way that people solve this on the web is they create an API key. Works like this. I create my service and I say, if you want to use my service, you have to sign up for a key. So you come to my website, you give me some contact information, you sign up for a key for your app. It's probably for your app, not just for you. So each app you write might have different keys. Then whenever you call my service, you have to send along the key that I gave you. If you don't provide a key, I'm not going to accept your call. This key gives me a lot of power in the relationship with you, because now if I decide that your app is abusing my service, I can shut you off by revoking your key. Or I could try to throttle your service by saying, well, it's a public, it's a free service, and you can only call it, like 5 times an hour or something like that, if I wanted to write the code that tracks how often you call it. Anyway, this is a really good idea, and if you're creating a public-facing web service, you really ought to have support for an API key. Now, the question is, how do I implement it? So today I'm going to show you a very simple way to implement it. And in later episodes, we'll consider, well, could you implement it with Windows Server App Fabric? And what value would that add? Or what about a WCF data service? Could you implement it with that? So we'll look at those in future episodes. But now let's get started with something real simple. So first, let's just run this. And then I will show you how it works in my little sample app here. So what I've got here is a web HTTP service. I've got kind of variations of the URI, one that uses the .svc file and the other that uses a route, so there's no .svc in the extension. All right, so if we just go here and say get session one, and we have now broke in the debugger, let's skip past that. So there we see, we got the data, right? No API key in the URI there. So let's back up here. And now let's turn on API key verification. So what I've done is I've just got a global kind of static variable that turns on when you do that. So now we're going to do a little API key verification. And if I go to see the sessions collection, once again, we broke into the debugger. Let's skip past that for now. See, I get a nice little, hey, you didn't provide an API key. Wow, well, okay, so that's pretty cool. So let's look at what it looks like with an API key. So down here I have links that include an API key. So if I click here on Sessions Collection. Now, let's just F5 this and then we'll come back to it and show you what happens. So there you see we got all of the data. And we have a little query string parameter that says API key, and then I have a GUID here. That's the API key that we want them to pass. All right, so now let's look at a little bit of how this is implemented, all right? Because I implemented this API key as infrastructure on the app in it, and you won't see it in the service code. In fact, if we come in here and we look at our session service, we see this very, very simple code here. I don't have API key in my URI templates or anything like that. It's just really my app logic right here. This is important because the API key is something that you would want to apply to all the services. You don't want to have it in the app code because the developer might forget to add it, and then you have kind of security holes or security is not applied evenly across the services. So let's look at how we did it. All right, so let's fire this back up again, and this time we're going to break in the debugger. So first thing I did was I created an XML file with a bunch of GUIDs that are valid API keys, okay? And so you probably have some kind of a repository. It's a database, a file. Maybe you store these in App Fabric cache or something. It's just a list of GUIDs that are accounts, app IDs that you've approved. And the good thing is these are the only ones you're going to allow. And if you want to revoke one, you just remove it from the list, okay? So that's my API keys. And now if you were using creating an app that uses my service, I would give you one of these keys, I'd create new ones or whatever. So that's how that works. All right, so let's go and run our thing. We're going to enable API keys and let's get session one. So what I have done here is I've created a class that is an API key authorization class. It inherits from Service Authorization Manager, which is a WCF class. And then what I did is I override this method, check access core. Now, WCF has called into my class and is basically saying, do you want to allow this call? Now, there's a lot of things you can do in this method, and most of the examples show, you know, doing things related to a particular user or their token, like checking claims and things like that. In this case, it's not really the user we're authenticating, because it might be, you know, some random person on the web that got this app or went to this website that's using AJAX to call my service. So really what I'm authorizing here is the app, and so I want to look at their API key. So I create this little method, isValidAPIKey, that takes the operation context. Let's step into that. Verification's not on. Okay, now we got to get the API key out of the operation context. This is a little bit of grungy, kind of lower level WCF code, but you can copy and paste. It's easy. Watch this. First of all, we come in and we get the request message from the operation context. And then we go into, there's a property bag on the request message, and I can go in and get the HTTP request message. So I can get that. Once I've got that, now I can get the query string out of the HTTP message. You see there's my API key right there. So we just go and get the query string, and then we get the query parameter, the API key, and return that. Now, the name value collection will return null if this key isn't present. It won't throw an exception, so that's good. So now we got our key that we're looking for, and I'm going to turn it into a GUID. So I'm going to call GUID.tryParse, and that way it won't throw an exception if it's an invalid value. And if that succeeds, then I'm going to look in this property, this API keys property here. And so this is the list, the properties, I've already loaded them out of the XML file. So it'll just see if it matches one of those, which it will. And then we're going to return true. Okay, so that way we know this call is authenticated. Okay, so that is that. It's pretty simple to add this in. Now, we create this authorization manager. We got our data. How do we hook this whole thing up to WCF? It's done in the web config. So right here, I have created a key that says service authorization, and then we have a service authorization manager type. We tell it what the type of our authorization manager is. WCF will add that in and automatically apply it. Now, I used a feature of WCF4 here where I created a behavior that has no name. That means this behavior is the default behavior. So any service in the site will get this behavior. And warning, that means any service, including soap services. So you would get, you know, errors if you had soap services that were getting this behavior because they wouldn't have that query string parameter. So if you have a mix of soap and rest services, you'll have to be more specific about applying this behavior. But I think in most cases, people will have just kind of web HTTP services in their site. Now, one other thing just to mention here in the API key verification is that how I went off and when I get the keys, what I did is I created a property here called API keys. And whenever you get this, I go and fetch the keys out of the cache. All right. Now I do this because the cache will expire these items after some period of time, and you can configure how long that is. And this has to do with what happens if I revoke a key. Well, if I revoke a key from the cache, they'll still have access for a few minutes until eventually the item will get expired from the cache. The same would be true if I was using Windows Server App Fabric caching. And the idea is that when you want to authenticate these keys, you want to do it very, very quickly with minimal access to the database. So this is a good strategy for doing that as well. Now, I wrote this whole thing up on my blog at blogs.msdn.com, and you can check out this post here, and I've also got sample code at code.msdn.microsoft.com, so you can go look at that and get the sample code, run the whole thing, check it out, and learn about it. For Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.